Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading verse number 1, then 2, then 3, and then we'll pray. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's word, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God. You give us a lot of reasons in the Bible to do right. I think we talked this morning about the supreme reason, and I think the number one reason, the first reason. But I pray, Lord, that you've given us a whole slew of secondary reasons, Lord, to just do the right thing and to live the right way and to say the right things and to conduct our lives properly. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would have our hearts open tonight to the preaching of the Bible. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I mentioned here recently the wisdom and the importance of doing a study on two words in the Bible, this matter of blessing and this matter of curse. Also, the word woe. I would not only study the word curse, I would study this word W-O-E, because that is warning, a warning of judgment. And just the idea of conducting a personal Bible study and wanting to, of course, do those things that God said will bring blessing into our life and avoiding those things that would bring a curse upon our life. And of course, in the course of that study, one of the things that you would have to be blind not to see is the emphasis that the Bible places on the matter of honoring your parents. I mentioned that this is going to be a sermon maybe seemingly directed at children or young people, but I would tell you this, I'm 54 years old and my dad has been in heaven for over 5 years. Listen very carefully what I'm gonna say. To this day, I would not want to do or say anything that would dishonor my father. I would not want to do or say anything that would dishonor my mother. And you old preacher, you're 54, you can do whatever you want. Well, you've got a crazy attitude about what adulthood is about. You know what, you're not an adult when you decide you can do anything you want. You're an adult when you decide that you're going to do what you should do. And you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible commands us that we are to bring honor to our father and mother. Now you do this two ways. You do it through lip and you do it through life, okay? I don't think you ought to ever pass up an opportunity to honor your parents verbally. And I mean that. I think when the subject comes up, when the opportunity comes up, somebody says something, you have an opportunity to say something about your mom and dad and credit them for the influence and the good that they've had in your life. By the way, I don't care if your parents are saved or lost. Okay, you still have an obligation to honor them. And you know what? Maybe you didn't have saved parents, but there's still some things that they taught you that have helped you in life. And yeah, we can all complain about what our parents aren't. We seem to be, in this generation, masters at that. How about speaking up for them? Okay, I mean it. It's a character flaw, young people. It's a character flaw. And a dangerous thing, as we're going to see by the time the night's over, for you to speak ill of your parents and to talk down your parents. And so even though I'm at the age that I am, I still think that if I were to do or say the wrong thing, it would bring a dishonor and a bad reflection upon my parents. And I'll be quite honest with you, I don't understand young people that do that. I just don't. I don't have a reference point. I don't understand somebody that makes decisions, life decisions, that's purposely going to dishonor their mom, dishonor their dad. That is one of the most wicked things that any human being can do. It's wrong. It's wrong to dishonor your mom. It's wrong to dishonor your dad. We're going to see that through the scripture. Say, preacher, why is it wise to just obey this Bible command of honoring your parents? Well, there's a lot of reasons. And then I'm going to give you some practical advice at the very end, and that will be kind of the conclusion. It won't take but a few minutes. But let me lay a biblical groundwork first. First of all, the wisdom of honoring your parents. When you honor your parents, you receive the inner peace that only comes through obedience. Now, let me just say this. The doing of right has its own reward. The doing of right has its own reward. And you know what? When you obey God, you know what? There's an inner peace that comes with obeying God. When you disobey God, whether you want to act as if it doesn't bother you or not, you have to live with the guilt of that act, of the act of disobedience. And so inner peace comes through obedience. You say, preacher, is the Bible emphatic about this? Let me give you some verses so that we understand that it is a command of God for children to obey their parents and for all of us to spend a lifetime honoring our father and mother. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5, 16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Matthew 15, 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Matthew 19, verse 18 through 19, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Mark chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Well, it sounds like God's kind of serious about this, okay? You put yourself at risk when you decide to cross these lines. Luke chapter 18, verse 19 and 20, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different times it's recorded out of the lips of Jesus Christ, the command to honor our fathers and mothers. Whenever an individual is presented with a clear command from the scriptures, that individual is faced with a choice to obey that command or a choice to disobey that command. Well, I'm gonna do what I want, yeah, and you've gotta live every day with the guilt of your disobedience. And by the way, you'll be surprised as the years go by what a heavy burden that becomes in your life. It may seem like a small thing, a light thing, but you'll have to carry that. And I promise you, the weight of that will do more damage to you physically and mentally and spiritually than you can imagine. Why not just have the peace of God? What is it with youth where we think and we're deceived by the devil into somehow deciding that the way to prove that we are adults is to rebel against authority instead of understanding that we're best served by obeying the scripture and honoring our authority and listening to our authority and obeying our authority. To disobey, to obey is to please God, to disobey is to displease God. This is where every individual is given a chance to exercise their own God-given free will. A good Christian will choose to obey. And obedience has its own built-in reward. To know in your heart that you've obeyed God, to know in your heart that you've spent a life, both with lip and life, of bringing honor to your mom and dad has its own reward. You live in the light of that. You live in the peace of the knowledge, you know, that you've done right. And only those who choose this sacred direction understands the sweet peace that comes with it. So number one, when you honor your parents, you receive the inner peace that comes with obedience. Number two, when you honor your parents, you secure blessings and longevity. Blessings and longevity. The command to honor your father and mother is labeled in the scriptures as the first commandment with promise. What this means is that if you obey this command, God has made a promise to reward you in a meaningful and long-term way. Let's go back and refer to our text here. Verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 6, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Well, what's the promise? That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. The promise is twofold, that it be well with you and you might live long on the earth. Happiness and long life. Long life and happiness. Sounds like what most people want. This is what a culture claims to want, yet they trample over the one commandment that comes with a promise for both. Mark the lives of those who are foolish enough to bring dishonor to their parents. Mark their lives. And you know what you'll see? You'll see unhappiness and you'll see that God will cut off their days. Whatever God's original intent was as far as the days that he placed them on this earth, by the way, study it out. There's things you can do to increase those days. There's things you can do to decrease those days. And this is one of those things where God says you want to live a shorter life. You know what? Dishonor your parents. Oliver B. Green was very transparent in his teachings on this and in his own personal testimony. For years, that great radio evangelist, I've heard him say it many times, said, I'm not going to live a long life. I'm not going to live as long as I should have because of the youth that I lived, because of the way that I dishonored my parents. And he was emphatic about it. And by the way, he did not live as long as would be average or considered average. And he knew why he wouldn't. And so, you know what, just understand that, you know what wisdom is there in just doing what the Bible says and honoring your father and your mother. Number three, when you honor your parents, you strengthen your church. You strengthen your church. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 21, Deuteronomy chapter number 21. And I want to read something to you because this is a portion of scripture that we need to go to and see. I want to remind you of this. There's only one time in all of the history of mankind that God reached down and chose out a people unto himself. There's only one time in all of the history of mankind where God said, not only am I going to choose a people and create a nation, but I'm going to personally supply them with the laws by which I want them to live. I don't know about you, but those that want to spend their life diminishing the importance of the law might want to spend some time understanding that God took that one opportunity to establish some things upon which all other laws ought to be founded and be built. In Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse number 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the people in the city shall stone him with stones that he die. Why? Why? See, preacher, that's so drastic. Why? So shalt thou put what? Evil away from among you. And all Israel shall what? Hear and fear. And I'm going to say this. I understand that we don't execute children who get into this stubborn rebelliousness. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. They put themselves in grave danger because what we do not do, God's well capable of doing. And you know why a lot of times you'll see some very drastic judgment come into the life of that type of a young person? I'm talking about divinely sent drastic judgment. So that the church will learn to fear, so that other young people don't look at that type of individual and think, well, look at him, he's cool, or wow, look what he gets by with. I think I'll start being like that. I will tell you this, in every generation in the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I could take you all the way and I could name the names. In every generation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I've watched God pick out one or two young people that just became stubbornly rebellious against their parents and watched God in a very public way bring divine judgment that either took their lives or altered their lives for the rest of their life. Now, if you want to thumb your nose at God, you want to wave like a red flag at a bull, if you want to decide, you know what, I dare God, you just go ahead. But you know what, you could just be added to another person on a long list of young people who God selected out. I think he does it in every generation and says to everyone else, I'm going to show you what that type of a life, what kind of judgment's going to come in that. Now listen, I don't know about you, but I want things to go well with me. I'd like to live long on the earth. I'd like to have a blessed life. God wanted to warn Israel of a principle. Here it is, an unpunished rebellious child infects a community like a cancer. By the way, it's affected the churches of America. I can tell you this, I've done this, folks. I'm not telling you something I've heard or read. I'll tell you something I've seen with my own eyes. You may think your preacher's just too tough in some areas, but I'm going to tell you something. I've gone to enough youth conferences. I've watched enough youth groups that are absolutely overrun and controlled by scorners and rebels. And you know what? I would shut this place down before I'd let it turn into that. I've gone into Christian schools where, you know what? They're more pagan than they are in the public school. They wear the facade of spirituality and they're heathens. And I'd shut the place down before I'd let it come to that. And I mean that. I'm not just talking. I'm saying it with all my heart. And you ought to be glad your pastor's tough on something. And parents, you ought to be tough on some things, okay? Because a church is only as strong, watch this, as the average strength of its families. Now, if God knows that, and let me say this, if God knows that, the devil knows it. The devil knows this, and he hates the local assembly. He hates the church. Now, young people, listen to me. He will work diligently to attack the family structure. Sometimes he attacks husband-wife relationships. Sometimes the relationship between a father and a child or a mother of a child. But a lot of times what he does is get into the heart of a young person. And he begins to chip away and destroy the structure of the family through a rebellious child. What's he ultimately after? The family. Why? Because as the family goes, the church goes. If he can reconstruct the average church to reflect the culture instead of the Bible, he will in turn reconstruct and pervert the entire local New Testament church. And so, fathers, I would encourage you to walk guard around your family unit. And I mean that. Moms, dads, get together, pray over this. But young people, let me say this. I see the parents around here, and I see them working hard, and I see them praying, and I see them hoping and wishing and dreaming. At some point, you've got to take some personal responsibility. And you know what? You've got to decide. This matter of disobedience is wicked. And this matter of living your life in such a way that would bring dishonor to your parents, it's a wicked thing. And don't allow yourself to be involved in that kind of a lifestyle. Number four, when you honor your father and mother, you strengthen your nation. Your nation, your nation. Go to the very last book of the Old Testament. Let's go look into the book of Malachi for just a second. The very last book of the Old Testament. The book right before Matthew, the book of Malachi. In Malachi chapter number 4. Malachi chapter number 4. We're going to read a few verses here. Chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Say, preacher, how does God choose to conclude the entire Old Testament? What are the last two verses that we read? The promise of sending one day John the Baptist. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Notice this. One of his missions was he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I had an interesting conversation. It's just amazing to me, I hate to say this, how brainwashed some of our bus teens are and bus young adults are. I had a discussion with a young lady this morning after class, just a brief discussion. And she wanted to come to me and she wanted to defend some of the things that are being accepted in our culture. And almost wanted to put the God in a bad light and the Bible in a bad light. Their question was specifically about the sin of homosexuality. And she began to say to me, I guess I got a question because my friends keep asking me, why does our church take such a strong stand against this sin? When she said this, and again, it shows the ignorance. When my friends are saying that the Bible's at least 100 years old. And I said, at least. It's at least 100 years old. As if, you know, if it's 100 years old, why would it pertain to anything we have to say today or what we should believe today? It's an old book. And this is new times in a new way. And I said, well, one of your friends do not understand that. I hope you do, is that the Bible is the Word of God. It's God's Word. And you know what? The times change and the culture change, but that doesn't mean God's changed his opinion about anything. And so I urged her, you're either going to have to believe what the culture is trying to tell you, what your friends are saying should be acceptable, or you're going to go to the Bible and believe what it says is acceptable. And sooner or later, every one of us has got to make that decision in our life. But folks, listen to me. And this is what I started to say. I asked her, I said, you know, you keep saying 100 years ago, 100 years ago. Was our nation better 100 years ago than it was today? And you know what she looked at me and said? No. And I said, young lady, how old are you? She's just turned 20. I said, you need to read history. I said, you have no reference point. See that? I mean, they honestly believe that the world is better now. And it's not. And folks, listen to me. What's happened to a nation? What's the difference between a nation if we were going to a time machine and go back 100 years and what it is today? What is the difference in the morality? What's the difference in God's blessing and God's curse? A lot of it is in this arena of this last day sin of children raising up against their parents. And folks, we saw that en masse during the 1960s. The first time it became very popular for an entire generation to basically adopt an attitude. They would say, you can't trust anybody over 30. You know what? Nobody older than me understands or knows anything. You know what? We're right and they're wrong. I'm hearing it all the time. This whole thing, folks, about the sins that the Bible stands to go. You know what the new generation is saying? They're saying, well, those are just generational things. Your generation just thinks different than ours. No, our generation can read. All right, and we fear God, and we believe the Bible. And you know what? God's not changing his mind about anything. Now, listen to me. What are you saying? I'm saying this. No, did you notice that? Okay, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And one of the reasons that the curse of God is upon America is because of rebellious children and rebellious teenagers. And it doesn't just affect your family, and it doesn't just affect your life. It affects a nation. And so, you know what? It's an unpatriotic thing to disobey your mom and not bring honor to your parents. Unpatriotic. I hate to inform you of this, but there's something bigger than you and what you want to do that's at stake. There's a nation that's going to hell in a handbasket. You're going to stand before God having contributed again towards that destruction, or having stood up as salt and light and given God a remnant and a reason to provide a little more mercy to America. America's foundation was destroyed. And its future judgment secured when a generation decided to glorify rebellion and purposely choose to live a life that would dishonor their fathers and dishonor their mothers. Solomon was allowed to look through the telescope of prophecy and describe the last generation of the last days with these words, Proverbs chapter 30. There's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, their jaw, teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Say, preacher, is that generation here? Just go to Instagram. Just go to Snapchat. Just go to social media. Just listen and look and read at what's posted. And you'll know what you'll see? The exact description of what Solomon predicted here thousands of years ago. Okay, the Apostle Paul was picked up like a pen and used by God to write this description of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last day perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Young people, listen to me. Whatever decisions you make in life, whatever kind of life you choose to live, it's a reflection on your mom and dad. It either brings them honor or brings them dishonor. And you know what? You can't dodge it. You can't excuse it. You can't say, this has nothing to do with my mom. This has nothing to do with my dad. They're good people. But it's my choice. Listen, you do it. Listen, you go ahead and read the paper. Okay, when I see that kid that's arrested in the community because of drug use, you know what I think about? There's a mom and dad that has to open that paper and see their child's face on the paper and be shamed in front of a community. Dishonoring your mom, dishonoring your dad. Okay? Don't live that type of life. Don't live that type of life. All right? Young people, listen to me. The most unpatriotic thing to do is to dishonor your parents. To purposely choose to live a life that dishonors your father, to purposely choose to bring your parents shame and regret, it places your country at great risk. Listen to me. I got more respect for somebody that burns a flag than somebody that dishonors their mom and dad. And I wouldn't stand and let anybody burn a flag in my presence. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to stand and let anybody dishonor their mom and dad in my presence either. It's amazing what we would put up with. But you wouldn't put up with somebody burning a flag. And yet you'll listen to somebody talk down their parents and make decisions, and you don't challenge them on it. You know what? They're destroying the fiber of a nation. All right? So let's just decide, you know what? Let's ask God's blessing on the good old U.S. of A. And one of the ways we can get the blessings of God honored is to stay solid on this principle. Number five, when you honor your parents, you secure your future standing with your children. Galatians 6, 7, and 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I shake my head in fear when I watch adult young people dishonor their mom and dishonor their dad, because you know what? Whether or not they realize it or not, all of that's going to come back to them one of these days. And you know what? If you want to secure the blessing of God, you want your children to be obedient, you want your children to live an honorable life, then you know what? You give that to your parents and then see if God doesn't bring it back to you. Number six, when you honor your father, you insulate yourself from future guilt and regret. James 4, verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. When you honor your father and your mother, you lay the foundation for a proper relationship with God. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place that he sees one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say this, Our Father which art in heaven. Isn't it interesting? People and young people that seem like they can't never do get have a good relationship with their mom and dad, refuse to obey and refuse to bring them honor. You watch them. They also usually have a very poor relationship with their God. I want to say it plain. You can't be right with God and not right with your mom and not right with your dad. Okay, so preacher, that's the biblical foundation. Give me some good practical advice. What do I do this week? Listen to me, young people. Spend time with your parents. I want to say this especially to the teenagers. You know, I know you get to an age where you get a lot of friends and maybe you've got a lot of distractions. You know what? I think it'd be wise to keep, outside of Jesus Christ as the two best friends in the world, I think it'd be good just keep mom and dad on that list, number one and number two. And you know what? Spend time with them. Well, preacher, they're getting old and it seems like they like taking naps now. You'll understand one of these days. Well, we don't always have all the same interest. Okay, then just go do something that you're not interested in, because it's not what you're doing, it's who you're spending time with. Spend time with your parents. I mean, I just on a regular basis, to go to dad and say, hey, when can we go to lunch? Dad, you're buying. All right, and preacher said I needed to spend some time with you, so let's go out and eat, amen. And take some time. Let me give you a second thing. Take on some responsibility that will make your parents' life easier. And I think every young person can do this. I mean, if you're old enough to set up in church and listen right now, you're old enough to do this. There's something that, you know what, you could do at home that make your parents' life a little bit easier. I mean, mom, she's worn out at the end of every day. And dad, he comes in and he's dragging. And you know what? A lot of times, just every child saying, Lord, help me identify something that's making mom so tired. What's something that she does every single day or once a week that, you know what, I could take on? And you know what, that's a great way of bringing honor to your mom. Hey, mom, from now on, you know what, Friday evenings you have off. I mean, you have it off. I'm going to fix the meal. And folks, listen, we've got Lifeline. We've got hospitals. There's medical assistance available. If it goes a little wrong, it's all right. You know, we'll get them to the hospital. But how about that? Hey, how about that? How about something like that? You know, his dad out there late. I mean, the sun's setting and he's out there doing the weed eating. He's taking care of some things. And young man, what are you doing? And by the way, how much did he work this week and how much did you work this week? Now, come on now. I mean, how about it? What's one of the things that, you know what, you can tell is just aggravating your dad that's not getting done around the house? And you hear it, and you see it. How about just deciding, you know, I mean, use some observation, observe, okay? Number three, ask your parents questions about their lives. I think that's a great way to learn about your grandparents, learn about your heritage. I think it's a wonderful way to learn about their upbringing. You know, they were raised in a different America. By the way, a better America. So learn about their upbringing. You know what? My girls used to say this. Dad, tell us a funny story, something that happened about you growing up. It seems like we never had a shortage of those, you know. And parents, you know what? I'm saying this. I don't say you have to open your closets and bring out every skeleton. But you know what? I think it's good sometimes to be transparent with your young people and say, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I had a lot of good things happen in my life, but I will be honest with you also that there's some regrets. And, you know, sometimes your mom and me may seem like that in a certain area, maybe we're smothering you a little bit. Maybe it's because, you know what, we made some mistakes in that area. And, you know, we know the heartache that comes from us. So you'll have to forgive us if we're a little tight in that area, but we love you. And we know the consequences of it. And so we want better for you than we had for us, okay? And I think it's good to do that. Number four, ask your parents advice about life. Here's a great question to ask your mom if you're a young lady. If you were my age, If you were my age and you had to do it over again, what's some things that you'd have done different? What's some things you could tell me that I should be doing right now that would prepare me better for life? Hey, how about that discussion? How about sitting down and having a real conversation? So you young men, I mean this, every one of you young men ought to sit down with your dad. If you're in your teen, if you're 12 and older, one of these days you ought to sit down with your dad with a piece of paper and a pencil and say, Dad, one of these days I'm going to have to provide for my family. I want you to help me to write out what it costs to live. What it costs to live. All right. Some of you guys don't even have a clue. You just walk in, the lights are on. Okay, the propane truck drives up and fills the tank up, and you know, food just magically appears. And I'm set down and say, what's it going to cost me one of these days? And what am I going to be faced with? And how much money am I going to have to make? And by the way, Dad, what's some good financial advice for me? I mean, if you're my age, what would you be doing? What should I be doing differently? How about this? What if you, a young lady, would go to her mother and say, Mom, what's the three most important things I should look for in a future mate for my future spouse? How about that? I'm talking about meaningful conversation. I'm talking about young people that think and go to the older generation and listen to them. Mom and Dad's always lecturing me. They shouldn't have to lecture you. You should be going and getting and asking them questions. Listen, you should be pulling the wisdom out of them, not making them trying to force feed it to you. Okay? So ask your parents advice about life. Let me tell you this, young people, and I wish you'd just trust me on this. Compliment your parents. Compliment your parents. Well, my mom and dad, I'm going to tell you what, every mom and dad at the age they are deal with a certain amount of insecurities. And you know what? I'm just going to tell you this. Every mom and dad down deep wants to be respected. They want to be their kid's hero. They want to know that you think well of them. Okay, some of you, you know, immature young men and young ladies have shown that you're masters at criticizing them. When's the last time you complimented them? When's the last time you went to them and said, Dad, let me tell you something that I admire about you, and I want to be like this one of these days. Mom, let me tell you something that means a lot to me that you do. Do you realize what that does to your mom and dad when you do something like that? Okay, you have the power to bring honor and blessing into your parents' life. You also have the power to bring great heartache into their life. Which of those powers are you going to exercise? I know which one brings a good life, and I know which one brings a long life because God's promised it. Let me give you one more thought here. And young people, I encourage you to do this. Find out what unfulfilled dreams your parents have. They're unfulfilled dreams. Let me tell you what, they were your age once. And I mean, full of vim and vigor and had the world by the tail and all of the things that they were going to go and see and do. And then you know what? You came along. And you know what? Can I say this? Without complaint. They were more than happy to set aside their dreams and focus their energies on giving you the best life you could have. But that doesn't mean that they still don't dream. That don't mean that they don't still have some places they'd like to go or things they'd like to do or something they'd like to see. And you know what? I think one of the things that would be awesome for every kid to do, and maybe you can't do a thing about it right now, but just put it in the back of your head and just say, you know what, Mom, what's one thing that you just haven't got a chance to do that you'd like to do sometime in your life? And, you know, you may be 14, and it may be, you know what, they want to, I remember when my parents said that they wanted to go see the Rocky Mountains. And you know what? Kids got together, and we made sure that they got a chance to go see the Rocky Mountains. This may seem like a silly thing. I asked my mom one time, I said, Mom, what is it you'd really like to do that you just never have got to do? And she said, I'd like to one time go and attend and hear a symphony orchestra. You remember she dragged my dad into that? You remember that whole story? Yes. And dad got set out there making a sermon during the whole thing, you know, because he's a preacher. Come up and preach, by the way, one of the greatest messages that I think he's ever been preached at this pulpit right here is on the symphony. And you know what? I put that in the back of my mind. And you know what? When Christmas time came, how about that? Listen, young people, let me tell you what you've done. By the way, babies are born selfish, okay? Are you thinking any of the babies back there in the nursery are worried about their mom or their dad and whether they sleep at night? All they do is when they want something, they cry. And you know what? That's fine when you're 6 months old, 3 months old, maybe a year old. Come on. You're 16, you're 18, and all you do is cry when you don't get what you want. Have you ever taken 1 second and found out what they might want? By the way, there's a lot of places they could have gone and maybe even should have gone that they didn't do so that you could be provided for, so that you could go to a Christian school, so that you could have an upbringing that they could only dream of having. How about paying something back? Now, you listen to me. I'm going to say this to every young adult in here. Let me tell you something. Your obligation as your parents' age is to take care of your mom and dad. We've got an entire generation that, you know what, they've latched on to mom and dad. Some of them are living in their mom and dad's house in their 20s and 30s and even 40s. They don't pay a bill. They're bloodsuckers. They take and take and take and take and take. By the way, they wouldn't do that in my house. I'm just telling you, there comes a point in time where you're enabling that nonsense. Okay, young people, I've told you this story, but when Bobby decided he didn't want to go to Bible college, he wanted to work, and that's fine. And, he didn't want to go to college of any kind. He wanted to work a job, whatever. You know, the fall after he graduated from high school, that fall where he could have gone somewhere else, done something else, he started paying mom and dad so much money every single week. By the way, parents are doing right by doing that. You understand when your mom and dad gets to the point when they ought to be close to retirement, they shouldn't still be paying your bills and bailing you out and taking care of you. You know, you ought to be paying some of their bills and helping them out and seeing to it that they have a good last handful of years on this earth. It's a wicked thing that I'm watching. A generation of young people that, you know what, are going to suck their parents dry till the day that they drop over. Well, you do that, but you're going to have to stand at the casket one of these days. Okay? The natural order of life is they took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. They're going to get to a point in time where they begin to diminish and you need to step up and you need to see that they're taken care of. That's one of the ways you honor your parents. Take care of mom and dad. And you know what God will do? He'll look down and he'll see that. I don't care what other kids do or don't do. He'll look down and see that and he'll say, you know what? I'm going to see that things go well in their life and I'm going to see that they're blessed with a good life and a long life. All of the promises of God will be kept because God keeps his promises. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for mom and for dad. Lord, thank you, dear God, for parents. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, no matter what age we are, to take the principles of the Bible and to show honor to our parents. And Lord, to see to it that both by our lip and by our life, that, Lord, we do everything that we can, dear God, to help them, be a blessing to them. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Oh, there's a lot of kids that I've met over the years. Just love to have a dad. There's a lot of kids that I've met over the years just like to have a mom. And Lord, shame on us if we waste them. The Bible talks about chasing them away. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God, in this manner of honoring our parents. We pray these things in Jesus' name.